Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Pitch Black are pioneers in the electronic sphere and have been defining dance music since 1996. Over the years, they've remixed artists from all around the world, and now they collect them together on a new album. Patty Free from Pitch Black joins us now. So first up, Patty, why a rarities and remix album?
Because it's been a while since our last album, and we've been like doing music for 14 years now, and included in that is a lot of remixes for other people, which some have come out overseas but not here, and vice versa. So we've sort of collected them all in one place, and there's been a request for things like the track that was in Whale Rider and just various pieces along the way. And yeah, so those are some of the remixes, and then in the rarities is our first ever track and a few other things like that.
And is it quite a different process to go through for you as well? Because as opposed to kind of crafting an idea and then touring with it, you've got quite a few different things and different areas going on here.
Doing a remix?
Yes, doing the remix album.
Oh, yeah. It's a great other exercise to take somebody's creativity and go, well, what am I relating to it? And then stripping it away and then building up around from that, same as we love it when people do us, because they might take the tiniest sound from the bottom of the mix, bottom of one effects track somewhere, and that becomes front and center, becomes the hero sound that they build everything around. So yeah, it's really, I mean, when you're doing a remix, I mean, it's great to have such a leg up on someone's creativity already. They've made a complete thing, so it's just enhancing the things that we like. And
so what do you get to work with? When someone says, can you do a remix for us, what are you provided with? It's not a multi-track, is it?
These days, particularly these days when it's easy to chuck a couple of gig over the internet. Usually it'll be a multi-track of full-length songs that all start at bar one, so they're just WAV files or something, or AIFFs, and you can just drop them into any audio program, and since they all start at bar one, even if there's dead air on the front, they'll line up.
And this is what's called stems, is
stems,
that right?
Yeah.
Stems, because when people talk about releasing their stems into the internet, I'd wondered and then found out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how does it start? Is it you and Mike Hodgson, who's the other half of Pitch Black, get together and listen to the track on the big speakers and go,
Yeah, usually one of us will start, whoever's sort of, just, do you want to start this? You got an idea or a relation to this, a way of relating? And we pretty much shuttle, even when we're together in the studio, it's pretty much a shuttling backwards and forwards process. And as the technology of collaboration has gotten easier, we now spin that out between locations and days. I mean, like in the old days, Mike used to push more of the video buttons and I'd push more of the audio buttons, so it would pretty much still be that 1-2 AB process with somebody listening and the other person working, and then we'd swap roles. But now you can do that even more over a longer period of time.
And you've got quite a range of source material to start with here. I mean, the first track on it is Hirani Melbourne and Richard Nunn's, which is not exactly dance music, is it?
No, but it's New Zealand, and it's a unique sound, and it's emotional, and it's about the things that we care about. That whole album is such a, Tuku Te Whai is such a huge sort of landmark in both New Zealand music and New Zealand culture, really, for what it did, and sort of arresting the decay of knowledge about Taonga Porto and stuff. So it totally relates. And also, I mean, this is something that Mike and I often say, that both of us are inspired by landscape and things like this, and those instruments, Taonga Porto, come from the land and they sound best. There's nothing like a kawawo to make you think of being in the bush and things like that. So there's just a absolutely happy marriage of our things that we like and things that are important to us.
Do you think that's characteristic of a lot of New Zealand music? Because I can think of a few things that's true of. Something like Baalta Space, often they sound geological. They sound like the land.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's one thing that comes from here, and that the things that you think of the amazing outdoor gigs and parties that every Kiwi's been to, and music sounds so good outdoors. We have with no room resonance and things. We all have pretty, some of our biggest, most seminal music input moments outdoors and things. So I think it can't help but go in. And I flashed a couple of years ago on the idea that you can have painters that you say, oh, they were a portrait painter, or they were a landscape painter. Well, bugger, I'm a landscape musician. You know? I don't do portraits. I'm crap at writing lyrics. So yeah, I'll wear the hat of landscape musician quite happily. You know, and that really just sums me up.
So how will you be supporting this album? Are you going to be hitting the road? Are you going to be playing shows? It'd be an amazing thing to be able to pull together all the artists and do a great big night, wouldn't it?
Good. Yeah. No, there's actually no plans to tour it. We're just sort of putting it out there and, you know, physically and digitally. So the orders that we've had so far have been about 75% digital and 25% for CDs.
I remember talking to Mike about this a while ago. Digital has started to work for you guys, hasn't it? In terms of worthwhile.
It hasn't arrested completely the rot of CD sales or whatever. I mean, since we started in the mid to late 90s, and we've absolutely straddled the era of the decline of CDs. But you know, we did a licensing deal for our tracks for pretty much worldwide distribution, and we sell on all order of 50 or 60,000 individual downloads a year. So, you know, it trucks on.
So fantastic.
Yeah. And that's the legal stuff. And then, you know, you get the emails from someone in Bulgaria saying, love this track. You go, gosh, wonderful. How did you find us? And there's no reply. Still, it's an honest bit of fandom. It's really nice.
Is there a track from the album that that really sums anything up for you about the process of the remix or putting this together?
Oh, that's a hard question, because they all come from different times and different places and different circumstances. I couldn't say there'd be I hear a lot of our sort of audio fingerprints or, you know, cliches or proclivities, if you want to call it, you know, all over every track and sort of thing. I think the things that we both like and what happens when we make music apparent in the first ever track, where Mike's got his crazy dubs and then I've got the big sort of rolling bass line and some acidy edgy noises, and yeah, we sort of kept going from there.
Even if you can't pick a favourite child, I'm going to have to ask you to pick one to play us out of the interview.
Oh, okay, well, it's 12 minutes. It's called A New Day by The Liar Project, which was an album that came out in the wake of the Asian tsunami, where they recorded a lot of folk musicians who'd lost their instruments and things. They gave them musical instruments, and album came out, and then they did a remix disc of electronica people from around the world, and ended up being a 12-minute remix, and I really like it. I think it's one of the nicest things we've ever done.
So. Excellent. Well, thanks very much, Paddy Free. And the album's called Remixes and Rarities, available in all the usual places.
Indeed. Thank you.
And that's our show for this week. If you'd like to hear anything that was in this show or in past shows, pop along to our podcast at publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Russell Brown.
And I've been Simon Pound. Thanks, New Zealand On Air.